are on a journey with one another and a journey with God. And everyone is at a different place. Right now, everyone's got different challenges. And I trust that this year that we can just be more real with one another, that we can share where we're at, that we can really help one another moving forward. And because we need one another, we need God, we need one another. And everyone that's here, that God has really put us together. I'm so thankful that you guys are here, that God has placed us here and what He's doing in our church, and for the testimonies that's coming all the time, but most of all lives that are changing. And I trust that at the end of this year, that each one of us, that we can really say that this year I continue to grow in knowing God. This year I'm really closer to God. I can't remember who said, I used a quote last year, but the one guy said, you are as close to God as you want to be. And sometimes we are as close to people as we want to be, and as close to one another. And for me, just all the time, it's just coming back, this journey that we are on, this journey that we are walking together. I'm just going to share a few thoughts around that, and then we're going to take communion, because that's the only thing that we can hold on to for this year is God. And He's the one and He's enough. And there are very real challenges that we are facing. I'll share a little bit about that later. But just looking back at where our church and what God is doing, I can really see how He's restoring us, how He's working in us, how He's, in the beginning there was a word, God is just closing up some of the cracks. That we can just be a vessel of living water, and that will be a blessing to many people. And there's something that God has been doing. He's been restoring us. This, I know many of us, we can testify how we've learned, how we've walked with God, how we've came a long way. And God is turning us into vessels of blessing, where the living water can just flow through us and not only be just staying with us, else we're just getting fat. I'm constantly reminded of that. There's a lot of courses and a lot of things that we can do, but if we don't know why we're doing these things, then we're just getting fat and fatter and fatter, spiritually speaking. And like we know David and his mighty men, 1 Samuel 22, where people came from all over, and they were strengthened again. They got new strength. They got new identity. They just became mighty men. And I believe that is still going on. It's still that God is doing in us. He's raising us up for a time like this. I was at Magabin the other day. I was talking to the waitress, and I said to her, so doesn't you want to come to church, or are you working on Sunday morning? We're just here in Kiro. She said, no, only bad people are working at Magabin, because they're all working on Sundays. They can never go to church. I said, no. We must maybe make so now I'm thinking, service on another day. So I asked her, so when will you come? She said, I thought Monday evenings would be ideal. She said, no, they're very tired on Monday evenings. But Thursdays, that's the day. So now I'm just praying about that. I'm really excited, actually, that maybe we can go out to all the coffee shop and restaurants and just give all the waitress and the waiters, give them invite cards to a Thursday evening service where we just bless them in whichever way. Where we just come because they're always serving, they're always bringing, you know, from some of you that's been there. So, and we just bless them. Because when anyone will come in here and experience God, we are blessed. This is life-changing. And it's almost a dream always that we can just get more people to experience God, more people to come in here and just to experience what God is doing and to experience God Himself in our midst. And as we walk together. So these are some of the things that will happen this year. I just want to start off by just reading us a scripture almost a reminder as we journey together, as we go into the year. In Matthew 22, verse 34, we know this, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, this is Jesus, they gathered together and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. He said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And these are things that we hear all the time. Love God and love our neighbor. Love people. But it doesn't always come naturally. And I just want us right at the beginning of the year, just to think about this, just to meditate, just to try to figure out what does this mean for me for 2017. If I must say that I love God and I love my neighbor, I love people, how is it going to look? And not to condemn us or anything. This is just something that for each one of us, there's a reality around that. That's a picture that we read this and we go over that and then we just go on with life. And say, okay, that's great. But Jesus is making a massive claim here. So on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And in Matthew 7 verse 12, it's almost the same thing, just in another way. It says, "So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Again, a similar thing. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. So when I tell that to my children, they know exactly what we must do for them. So they know how to, when they want to bless other children, they just take some of their toys and they give it to them. Or we will go somewhere and they take this stuff and I'm going to say, "Just hold on. Not that and that." So, "No, Daddy, we just want to give this and this." And Christmas time came and Samuel just started wrapping like half of all his stuff. I just said, "So what are you doing?" He said, "No, I'm making presents. And I'm making presents for everyone." And during the night, he was there next to my bed and there was this package. And it's some stuff that I gave him long ago, but he remembered there was a RAM that I took out of a computer and I gave it to him. And at a certain stage, I was looking for this RAM and I couldn't find it. And he found it between all his toys and he wrapped it and he put it next to my bed in the night. And he said, "Daddy, your present is there. It's something that you like." I mean, there's only seven, and he wrapped stuff for all of us, and then he couldn't wait for Christmas. He just started every day. He just started, "Okay, you must open that. You must open that. You must open that thing," and it was so beautiful just to see that love, that they understood something of love for people, and just love for God, love people, and it really struck me because we do a lot of things and life gets very complicated. But this is what it's come down to. And as we meditate on this year, as we write in the front of the beginning of the year, I want us to put this in front of us. And again, everything we know, the prophecies of the Old Testament, everything pointed to Jesus. Everything pointed to Jesus. Without the Lord was the commandment, it was the Israelites in the Old Testament, they had the law and everything was measured against the law. So they were constantly reminded that they're not good enough. Constantly reminded of, "Wow, I can't reach this." And it's amazing how God just built in this lifestyle of almost repentance, of sacrifices, all the time coming back. So, okay, this is my sacrifice for this and this is what I've done there. And they were sacrificing all the time. Almost preparing the way for Jesus and for what we do today, just repentance of coming back to God. It was right there in the law. And even today when we look, there's sometimes the requirements are so big, we think like, "Wow, I can't be like this, I can't live like this." And then there's Jesus. And it's like, just come as you are. I'm the perfect sacrifice. I'm the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the law, of everything, of the Old Testament. That's Jesus. I'm enough. And when I was thinking about the prophets, they were in essence the guys that brought the word of God. For many, they were almost the presence of God between the people. You know, they just gave it. They were going wild sometimes, and fire came down and devoured all the stuff and the offerings. And sometimes the guys didn't know how to relate with these guys because they got really crazy at times. And they did big things and wild things. They spoke exactly what God was saying. But they were a sort of a presence of God between the people. And even today with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's in us, we are that presence of God. We are something of that. A presence of God among the people. So firstly, there's Jesus. That's everything that's enough for us. And then there's what He's done for us and what He's put in our hearts and our testimonies and the Holy Spirit that's in us. And that is something of that presence of Jesus that's in us and with us. And it's so encouraging. If we go to the Old Testament in Leviticus, the Lord called Moses, spoke to him. I don't think it's on the slide. He says, "Speak to the people, say to them," Leviticus 19, verse 18, "so you shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And we know in Deuteronomy 6, where God again spoke to Moses and gave him the laws and everything, He said, "The statutes, the rules, the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord." And it continues, and it says, "Keep these commandments all the days of your life, that your days may be long." So there was a certain element of life connected to obeying God. And today we know in John 10, verse 10, it just said, Jesus is life. Jesus is life. Jesus is enough. But this is something that we must make a reality in our lives. Instead of just saying it and going over it, meditate on it and say, "Okay, right, Lord, this is the reality. This is what I'm holding on to." And Jesus always talking about, He's so often talking about the people and being together and our Father, talking about groups of people called out for Him. We know we've spoke about the church last year, as the group of people called out for His purposes. He's always speaking about community. It's always people together. And I realized also from listening to our testimonies and just from knowing, we know that in community, and we spoke about this, it's almost like family. We grow together. We help one another to become like Jesus. And it's not always easy, but there's a big part that a group will play in our growth with the Lord, in our relationship with God. And we will learn from one another. And that's just something that we will again emphasize this year, just us and the groups, everything that we have available. It's not that we must do a lot of things, but it's to help us growing together to become like Jesus. And that's what I want to put out for us in Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. It says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's as if it was written yesterday. Let us consider how to stir up one another for love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Proverbs 27, verse 17 said, "Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another." That's not always nice. I know, but it's life-changing. And I thank God for people that were bold enough and had the courage enough to speak the truth into my life. And it's still speaking the truth into my life. And that's just something, as we journey together, as we're moving forward, loving God, loving people, we will also be together. We are a family walking together. And sometimes it is challenging. Sometimes you just want to get away. I know when things are tough, or when you did things that you're not supposed to do, or whatever way, or is this accusations that's coming your way, then we just want to hide. That's what we want to do. We don't want to be between people. I asked Gustav and Samuel yesterday, I said, guys, this year, you must do less things in secret. And immediately they said, why? I said, because you often, you don't do good things when you're alone. In secret, and Gustav said, yes, Daddy, when we take the juice out of the fridge and we make sure that you can't smell our breath, so you just drink a little bit of water afterwards and you clean up the box that no one will see. You're speaking about that. I said, yes, that. Exactly. And so they just come out of everything. I said, yeah, all this stuff. That's the stuff you're doing in secret. You must stop that. In secret, there are some things that in secret that is good. The Bible talks about fasting, and we know our devotion, our spiritual disciplines, time we spend with God. But then there's other things in secret that we're not supposed to do. Sometimes it's just wasting time. And we know those things. And often when we come together between people, then we don't really want to say what's going on. Or we just don't want to be between anyone that's going to ask any questions. Because we just want to figure it out first all by ourselves and be in a better space. I know, we're all human. You just want to be in a better space first before you want to move out, before you want to go where there's people or small group or whatever group. You just want to be in a better space. That when someone asks certain questions, you can give them a better answer. And Jesus is just saying, just come. Just come. But it's also a responsibility for us to be sensitive to where we're at. When Lee and I, we often spoke about context. There's context. Someone can go through a certain situation, you see something, someone else, it looks exactly the same, but the context, what's happening in his life and what's happening in his life, is totally different things. So if we're not finding out and we're just throwing accusations and saying things, then it can really hurt. It can really cause a lot of damage. But we trust that we can move closer to one another, that we can make progress in this journey as we're growing in the Lord. And this is what I'm trusting God for. And in Genesis, Adam and Eve, when they were hiding in the garden, and Jesus is walking there, and then he asked the question, he said, where are you? Where are you? And for me, when I read that, it was almost like the word is coming. What is really happening in my life? Where I'm at? What is currently going on? See, anyone that knows, everybody doesn't need to know, but it helps if there's people that know what's going on. People that you can trust, people that can walk with you. And I pray and I trust that we will be that community where we can walk together. Where there will be someone in our community, in our church, that will know where you're at. That can help us. I just realized that asking a question, where we at, that is where things will get very personal. But that's also when we start talking about some of these things, where God can come in and he can just bring a lot of healing. You can just do a big miracle, a big work, right in that space. And I know if I was just thinking in my house right now, but I told my dad he must stop working. He turned 75 last year, and he was still doing his driving school lessons. And then he came home after there was a certain person in there that can't drive at all. And drove his car on the pavement again, and he said, Yaku, my heart, it can't take it anymore. I just felt the beats. He's got an irregular heart. So when he say those things, I know that is true. And he tells me that the night he couldn't sleep, those are very real, because he just wants the best. He wants everyone to pass, everyone to be the best driver ever on the road. He gives his everything for his work. So I went to him last year and I said, okay, now you must stop. You must stop. Anything, if you give any lesson, it's a bonus. But don't think that it's a requirement anymore for you to work. So that's something very real. We must now make a plan. How is this gonna work out? How are we gonna provide for him? But those are just real things. When I will sit around the braai and chat, that's some of the things. If you ask me what I'm trusting God for, what we're praying about, these are some of the things. Trusting for Lee's dad, he doesn't believe in the Lord, that he can get saved. There were some, I believe, really things that God came to give him a Damascus experience. And there were a few of those already. But that's what we pray for, that he will get saved. His life will turn. Some of you might know, on our intercession group, Answa was diagnosed with colon cancer last year, and I went to them. They said that I can tell people about it, so not talking behind their back, but that's just a real thing. That's what's going on. Jock and Answa was going through a really tough time, and there's others of us that's also going through tough times right now. But that's why we walk together. We journey together. And we can only hold on to God. And we can really, really help one another. And today, there's a warning. I just realized that the warning, the devil want to come for our faith. He want to come for our faith. He wants you to stop believing. He wants you to doubt in God. Is God still enough? There are things that are happening in our lives. We have questions. There's definitely things that we don't understand. These are real things. But God is still God. And He's a good God. And He will come for our faith. He will come and He will say, no, but that, why did that happen? And why did that happen? What about these things? And I just pray that that we will just continue to hold on to God as we journey together. Because God is enough. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. And that chapter in Hebrews 11, it goes on, it talks about all the faith heroes and the guys, how they trusted God. And then at the end, it talks about a lot of other guys, and you just say how they did amazing things. And it continues and says, others just suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. So for them, things didn't turn out so good. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Some of them never received what was promised for them, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And that better was in heaven. They were striving, they were continuing for what lies ahead. But that process, they must have thought that they're going through hell. And I think in those things, it's so easy to walk away from the faith, to walk away from God. To walk away. And all that I'm actually saying is, these are real things. I don't know what this year is going to bring. I don't know what's what's going to happen. But we need to stand together. We need to help one another. Hebrews 12, it continues. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When I pray for healing every time, I just want to add it in. And everyone doesn't get healed. And some people die, some people get miraculously healed. But I don't just walk around and when there's a sick person, just say, man, God heals. And God will heal you, and just walk off. But sometimes it's just hurting the people. Because you didn't stop, you didn't ask what's going on. You don't have any context. Just made a comment and you walk off. What I do say, I will pray with you. I will stand in faith. I will pray because my God heals. And we serve a God that heals. We serve a God that can come through for us. And we've got testimonies. And we have testimonies of God coming through and healing. And I don't understand every time why things are working out, how it's worked out and what happens and all the results. I don't understand all of that. But I know God is good and He's our healer. And there's many other names of God that I hold on to. The great I am, the Almighty God, the Sovereign God, Omnipotent. This is the God that we are serving. When Moses was standing there and before the burning bush and God speaking to him, God said, I am who I am. Almost like God was saying that you will get to know me in the things that I'm going to do for you. The present God, a God that acts. You will get to know me. You will see me. You will experience me. This is who I am. Because he was actually questioning the nature. He was asking something about, who are you, God? What is your nature? This is the Almighty God that we're serving. And just so that was the warning about our faith, that I believe it gets attacked. And then the problem is the world we live in. That's the problem. Matthew 6:24, we know it, where it says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve, but it talks about a devotion. You can't be devoted to God and devoted to money. It says the mammon, the worldly systems. You can't be devoted to both. Often we try to do it. And then in the next verse, it continues. It says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And it continues. And it's for me very significant. Because we are anxious about our life, we want to work everything out. You want to hold on to this world. You want to know the worldly system. You want to do everything you can. And God said, you can't be devoted to both. And just to help us, as if He's knowing what will go through our minds, and say, Lord, but what about this? What about that? What about that? And then Jesus has come. He said, therefore, don't be anxious about your life. And He continues with all the other stuff. And those are something. This is the world we live in. But the God we serve is bigger than that. Matthew 7 again. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those who find it are few. I pray that this year that each one of us, that we will find life. That we will continue to find life. When Paul was I'm almost finished. Just two things I just want to add. When Paul was writing from a Roman prison, he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. I'm not sure if it's on there, but yeah. For he said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Therefore, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness." You see, I fought the good fight, finished the race. I've kept the faith. Therefore, is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then he continues, and he said in verse 10, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And he's talking about Demas, where we know that they were together at a certain stage, and we don't know what happened to him. But I just think it's, he just added in there, in love with this present world has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And I pray that as we journey together, this is some of the things that we need to do. We will have to watch out for one another. Because it's easy to become ensnared by the world. It's easy to become ensnared, to become in love with the world and the worldly systems. I'm not saying that we will all pitch a tent and live in there. And we are in the world and we are making a difference. But as we journey together, we need to help one another to stay loving God and loving people. And lastly, Daniel. Did I put that scripture on there? Daniel 3, verse 17 to 18. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fire, and King Nebuchadnezzar, he told them, if you guys are not going to obey me, if you're not going to obey when the music starts playing and bow down, bow down to the golden statue, I'm going to throw you guys in the fire. And what they said there was just amazing. He said, if this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. That's always for me this. We know God can save. He can deliver us. He can do whatever. But even if he doesn't do it, if not, we continue to serve him. We're going to just get the communion. And we're going to just take communion together. And I just want at the beginning of this year, just say to the Lord, Lord, in you we trust. And you need to help us on this journey as we journey together. I'm looking forward to the year and what God is going to do in our midst. I've got excitement. I believe I just got this one word breakthrough that I'm just meditating on and praying about. I'm definitely trusting God for breakthroughs in many ways, in many areas and in our lives. But it's a journey. We journey together. I just want to ask Vince, you and Tony, can you maybe just... Oh, there's some. And right at the beginning of this year, it's just important to remind us again what Jesus has done for us, because he made the way for us to have life by his death on the cross. And I really want to encourage you guys, as we journey, as we journey together, as we go into this year, I don't know where your faith will be tested. but it's probably going to be tested. I'm not sure where your devotion will be tested. It will probably be tested as well. That love God, love the world. But I believe that as we walk together, as we journey together, we can get this right. We're already getting a lot of it right. And my prayer is that in the tough times or in the bad times, that you won't isolate yourself. You will come and reach out to someone. It doesn't have to be me or everyone. Just someone. That we can help one another. That we can walk together. That we can pray together. And another day, then it's me. Another day, it's someone else. I'm so aware that I don't know what's going to happen the next day. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we are holding on to God, and that's where we get our joy from. That's where we can look forward. That's where we can look forward to tomorrow. And I always say that I trust God for work for everyone in this church. I trust God for it. And we will pray together, and we will trust God for breakthroughs. And the things that you guys want to share when we get together in our groups, whichever group it is, take the opportunity, share, say what's on your mind. Let's journey together. Let's be real with one another. One Corinthians 11, verse 23 said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You also proclaim the life that God gave us. You also proclaim the victory over circumstances. You also proclaim God's faithfulness. We also proclaim God's forgiveness, God's life, God's healing power. Everything. That's what we proclaim when we take communion. They just eat and drink, and then just after you've taken it, just pray by yourself. Just speak to the Lord in response to this word. Father, we thank you that you endured till the end, Lord. You came to this world, Lord. You lived among us. You were tempted in every way. You were persecuted. You understand so much, Lord. You understand everything what we are going through and our circumstances and much more. I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, Lord, to make it possible for us, Lord, to be united with God again. Made it possible for us to be in right standing with God. Father, I pray for this year. I pray for each one of us that we will stay strong in the faith, Lord. We will stay on believing in you, God. Help us to stir up one another, Lord, for good works and for everything else that you want to do in and through us. I pray that no one, Lord, no one will fall away. For no one it will be said that he or she left the world and has departed. Pray that each one of us will be able to run strong, will endure till the end. Pray, Father, for the sensitivity for one another as we walk together, as we journey together, that we can really love one another. That we will become friends, Lord, beyond what we have right now. That we will be a family, Lord. We will be your people. That we will represent you well every day in Jesus' name. And I pray your protection on each one here, Lord. Father, I pray your covering. I pray your blessing on every family, every household represented. We pray, Father, for their dreams, their desires. We bring everything before you, Lord. The troubles that might be there, challenges right now. Lord, Answa's sickness, Lord, the things that she and Jock is going through. Lord, for trust you for work, for everyone. We trust you for life, God, and so much more. And thank you, Father, that we can stand boldly before you today, Lord, as your people. Know that you are the great I am, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we will get to know you better, Lord, in the things that you have done already and that you are still going to do. We thank you in advance, Lord, for testimonies that's going to come. But we are aware, Lord, that sometimes there are tough times. There are difficult times. There are times that we just want to run away and sit under a tree and cry. And I pray, Father, that we will be there for one another. That we can stand together and we can stand strong in you, Lord. Not because of it's going well and everything, but just because we're holding on to you. And you are faithful. And we worship you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.